At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
Today we're talking all about number 21, Cut Your Hair. Russell, talk to me about your relationship with this song.
I love this song, you know, for a few reasons. One, I think because, you know, it's ubiquitous. And when I talk about Pavement to the rest of the free world, people are like, I don't remember that band. And if I say Cut Your Hair, people are like, yeah, I remember that.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of the Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and speed. Just speed. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Jessica from Ann Arbor. Jessica, how the fuck are you doing?
Super fucking good.
I love it. I love it.
This is exciting.
When people fire back an F shot at me, that's like my favorite thing. It's validation to a degree.
I was wondering if you were going to say like, hey, motherfucker, since I heard that maybe you haven't had a lot of ladies yet.
But, I haven't. I said that to, I will promise I will say that in the future. I've sort
us
of
ladies
laid back
can
on
be
that.
Motherfuckers too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it, Jessica from Ann Arbor. Let's hear your Pavement origins story.
Okay. I kind of
She's opening
about
a tome right now, folks.
I know. I didn't want to go like back into like childhood, but it probably is high schoolish.
Okay.
So that would be late 80s, early 90s. And I live in Michigan, which I do again. And I liked a lot of like alternative music, but it was kind of hard to find out about it.
Right.
Back in the day before the internets. So one way was I read a lot of like British music magazines like Enemy and Melody Maker. And I would read little tidbits, which comes into the first time I met Pavement. So, and I loved REM. That was like my number one, probably favorite band. I like the Replacements and a lot of British shoegazy bands, but, the week after high school, my best friend and I decided to move to Athens, Georgia. And we were 17. And we just picked up and left. And we ended up living across the street from Michael Stipe.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That was like, it was like a dream come true. Except we were 17 for a while. So it was like this like Disney world for music lovers because there were so many cool bands. But it was a little bit hard to get into stuff like bars and things the first few months. But we met a lot of people and that helped. And then we turned 18 and then we could get into more things. But right. There was like cool bands playing for $4 like 5 or 6 nights a week. It was really cool. We go dancing a lot and stuff. But we had tickets to go see U2 that we had bought in Michigan before we left. So we went back for that, but then we had to drive back because we heard Pavement was playing at the 40 Watt in Athens.
Really?
And this was in 92.
Okay.
So we went to the U2 show, which was pretty awesome. And Wayne from, no, Garth from Wayne's World was like satellite linked into that show and played drums for something on MTV. So that was a random place to be. But we had to drive back to Athens and it was like 12 or 14 hours. And we went like straight to the show. And it was crazy and wild and sweaty. And Gary was in the band and he was doing handstands and headstands and hanging from the rafters. And it has since been put on YouTube. So now I can like watch my 17-year-old self's view of watching them. But we really wanted to talk to them because we read in NME or Melody Maker that they were going to be on 90210, Beverly Hills 90210, but that they, Stephen got in a fist fight with one of the guys, one of the actors.
My God.
And so before I even heard what they sounded like, I was like, I like these guys. They beat up somebody on 90210. So that was the first thing I asked them. And it was a rumor that Scott started about Stephen, I think, just to fuck with the UK press or something.
That's
which sounded cool. That was a pretty cool thing, too. And yeah, that was an awesome show. And yeah, I was hooked. I think that summer before that, so right after high school, is I think I got Slanted and Enchanted was the first thing I heard.
And you got that in real time, basically.
I think so, because we volunteered to work for this like local free magazine to like review bands, and they gave us a lot of free stuff. And I think that that's where we got that. I don't know if we bought it or not. And then I moved back to Michigan, and we went to high school with Jim, but we weren't really friends. But then we worked at a store together, and then we somehow started talking, found out we liked a lot of the same music. And then that's...
Jen will be coming up on a future episode, just so you know.
Crazy Jen. And she's like the super fan, uber fan. I'm like a Robin to her Batman, I would think. Because she worked at a super cool record store. And so she had all the 7-inches before and cool promo things. And she knew, like, you know, label owners and promoters and people who ran clubs and all kinds of stuff. So even at, you know, she was a year older than me. So we're still like, you know, well, 18, 19-year-olds. And she had the inside track. So she would like make me tapes of all her cool 7-inches. So I had like, you know, the Peel Sessions, and we had all these weird bootlegs. And then I think I went to England the year before that, but then I went again and got a lot of weird bootlegs, including some Pavement ones. And then we went to see them together. And she is better at remembering this, so she had to kind of fill me in. We saw them in Chicago. And we've gone all over the place to see them. We've gone on lots of road trips because they're very important to us.
Yeah.
And but Chicago's only about 4 hours away. And we also somewhere in there, I think she wanted to remind me, and I guess I'm filling in some gaps, that we wrote them some weird fan letters somewhere in here, somewhere in like 93 or 94. Which I used to do with a lot of bands, and I became friends with a lot of bands from writing really weird fan letters.
What's
and sending
really
strange
mean?
Presents. We would just like really exaggerate things. Like she says that we found a Danzig fanzine or something, and we just changed the words around to something. But we would just pretend we were like insane for them. Like we would say that we would crawl 100 miles over broken glass just to smell their shadows. Just like really over the top weird stuff. We weren't obviously serious. And we would just put weird toys and gadgets and odd things and just send gift boxes to bands we liked. And it always made an impression. It's a good icebreaker if you're shy, too. Jen always thinks that I was better at talking to people in bands, but I'm super duper 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 shy either. I have to overcome like being terrified. But if you have like a funky present or something silly to do or say, then it makes it easier. And they always enjoyed that. And I think that first time we gave them some weird thing we got from a truck stop was a license plate with a Confederate flag on it, which I'm cringing at now. And it said, "Ass kicking Southern Rock." And Westy put it on his drum kit, and that made us excited. And then I think we saw him in Detroit like the next day or the next week or something. And they let us go to the sound check, and that was very exciting. And we always tried to be like in the front row, laughing and screaming and dancing, and it was very fun. And they gave us cool things too. Like one time they gave us some Stephen King paintings that were like left over from something.
Really?
We got some cool stuff. And then once we got through with like kind of like we, you know, gush a little bit about what songs we liked or stuff, then we were just like kind of act like regular people with them, and we'd like go out to dinner with them or go walking around with them, and it was pretty cool.
I bet. Holy crap. That's fucking dynamite.
It was groovy. Those were the salad days. We made them last for a few years too.
Talk to me about that. After that refreshing sip of water. I hope it's not moonshine.
It's just agua. I'll try not to slurp too much on the microphone. Let's see. I had to write down some of these things because I have these like big blank spaces. So, let's see. And I'm blind because I'm old now. I'm almost 50.
Me too.
And, let's see. Okay. I had to get some help with Jen and the internet. All right, so let's see. Then we saw them in Detroit. Oh, and apparently they did two shows, an early show and a late show. That was in 94. So we saw them in May and October. So at this point, we'd seen them like 5 or 6 times. Then we went to see them in Cincinnati. And I'm trying to think. Went to this, like, we would just go to the dirtiest, nastiest places that were like out in the middle of nowhere. We could have got killed. And we were in Jen's like old Subaru that backfired all the time, and pretty sure we got a flat tire once. And it was mostly like big, scary, drunk guys at these shows, and then it was just us, little girls. I know, we made shirts for them, I think. I don't know if Jen has or Will talked about, but she wanted me to tell you. We made these homemade shirts, and they were on baseball kind of shirts with like, you know, 3/4 sleeves. They were green. They were very kind of 70s retro. And our old gym teacher had a t-shirt shop. So we would go and just make weird collages and then print them out into iron-ons. And then he put them on. And then we do lettering. And I would like sew on sequins and stuff. And so, like, yeah, they were very 70s looking. Like, they would say, like, you know, Pavement Rules or Pavement is Number One. And they would have some, like, album art on it or some pictures of them, and or just random stuff. And they really liked those. And I think they signed our shirts. And we wore them a couple times. And then Scott really liked them, so we made him one. And there's a picture of us wearing ours in the Pavement documentary.
Oh, really? In Slow Century?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the back of us, though. Because I think Scott took that picture and owned it. But we had our own pictures of our faces, which we still have. Jen has most of them. But yeah, I made one for, well, we both made it for Scott. But yeah, I sewed on like a million like individual sequins on part of his shirt. And he liked that one a lot. And we'd give him weird presents too. There were these cool stores. There's one in Cincinnati and one in Chicago. And they were called Big Fun and Uncle Fun. And they had like really weird retro toys and just weird stuff from Europe. Like we got these really tiny harmonicas that were, the box said made in occupied Japan. They were so tiny. And we just give them like spark guns or toys or trading cards or just weird stuff that we could find. And then, you know, they started knowing us every time we'd show up. They'd be like, hey, you're here. And that was kind of cool because then we'd know like the sound guys and the tour managers too. So even if it was somewhere, because I went to see them in England quite a few times. I lived in England for a couple of years in London. Saw them there, and that was very different, you know. And I saw them as they got bigger and bigger, because we saw them in pretty little clubs and then like bigger clubs and some theaters and stuff. But it would be weird because sometimes in like London, there's like other people in big fancy bands back there, backstage. And I would just kind of sit quietly and be like, this is exciting. And for some reason, this isn't a very musical memory, but I remember I had been in England for a couple of years and I missed a lot of American stuff.
Yeah.
Just like I missed Taco Bell and weird American stuff. And Bob had some Tic Tacs. And for some reason, I thought they were American and they were nowhere else. And so I got really excited and I was like, America Tic Tacs. And then we had a Tic Tac fight backstage. But mostly we were just, I would just kind of rock out, love the shows. We got very excited if they ever dedicated songs to us, which they would every once in a while, like, you know, if it was like our 10th show or our 10th year or something, or our 20th show. We went on a lot of road trips around America, going to see them. And, it was always an amazing time.
I bet. They became your buddies.
Yeah.
Do you still talk?
Yes. It's not quite as rock and roll now. I play online Scrabble with Bob pretty much every day.
You do?
That's my most rock and roll mom story that I have.
That's pretty cool.
That's how nerdy we are.
That's very cool. Bob's amazing.
He is. He's like a sweet teddy bear. They're all so nice.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of talks with all of them. And so it's pretty cool when you, they always say like, don't meet your heroes, but almost every band I've met has been awesome. And I've known a lot of them for 10, 20, 30 years now.
That's very cool.
And so I didn't see them quite a bit during the breakup times. I saw Steven and the Jicks a couple times in the early 2000s and Preston School of Industry. And that was fun because me and Jen had kind of lost touch. She had moved out west and I moved to England, and it still wasn't really good internet days. And so we were like connecting through Pavement. like Scott would say, hey, yeah, she's in Colorado now and she has a chihuahua. I would be like, tell her I said hi if you see her before me.
That's Sure.
It was. They're like, we kind of think of them as our big brothers.
I bet. Yeah. They I mean, and the fact that you got to see them and their rise to prominence, right? Like, that's pretty cool.
But I have to say, you know, since they never got, like, mega gigantic, they never became, like, stuck-up assholes, so.
No, yeah.
They've always been the same. And so I didn't see them, like, a reunion-y stuff, like, in the, like, 2010s thing. I think I might have been having a baby somewhere in that time.
Gotcha.
And being a mom and being kind of boring. So the last time I saw them, Jen came out here and we saw them in Detroit.
Oh, that's cool.
At the Masonic Temple.
When was that? 2022 or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that had been like basically 30 years of us going to see them off and on. And I got front row for that one, so I was very excited. And she has seen him earlier on in the tour, so she got to tell him that we were going to have our reunion, and it was pretty cool. They dedicated some songs to us, and that always makes you like feel like a super fan. So yeah, it was pretty groovy.
Yeah, I bet. What's your go-to record these days?
Jen and I were kind of talking about this. I think probably Slanted and Crooked Rain are like my comfort records.
Yeah.
But it was when I was kind of a teenager, so there's kind of like an angsty whole different world that I was taking them in. But it still feels like my comfort. Those are my comfort albums. But I definitely have like favorites on all the ones past then. Plus the cool thing was is we got to hear songs that ended up coming out like years later, earlier on. And we had like different names for them because we didn't know what they were called, or they would be on a bootleg or something. And yeah, we had our own names for them that we had to unlearn. Like, I think we called Grounded, I think Jen was saying we called it the sedan song.
Okay.
Just because he said something about the sedan in the parking lot, maybe? I don't know. We just pick one word and be like, oh, that's that one. And we may not have even known some earlier song names, or we just make up our own. We did a lot of singing to the stuff. We liked ones where they were like singing back and forth, like call and response. Like,
yes.
Circa 1762. We loved singing that one in the car. So that, I can definitely play those first two albums and all the like pre-singles and stuff solidly, but I kind of pick and choose what I listen to on the later albums.
Okay.
What I'm in the mood for.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, what do you say we flip the script here and talk about song number 20? Are you down with that?
I'm down with that.
Well, let's do that. We'll hit that right after this break.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
20.
So Sunday drive past your own Hall of Fame. It's closed on weekdays, shut for good. They got no one when you're talking. Thoughts like rattlesnakes were walking. No one has a clue. The party.
This week on the show, number 20 on the countdown. I'm pretty excited about this one. It's Blackout. This is the ninth song from Wowie Zowie to make the cut on the top 50. Pretty good showing for Wowie Zowie, I would say. What do you think, Jessica from Ann Arbor?
I think it is a very solid Pavement song.
Yeah.
Like, I think it belongs in the top 20 to 30.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, it hits all the right Pavement beats. It's like kind of pretty. It's kind of dirty. It's got weird lyrics. I'm not sure what it's about.
No, it's really tough with us.
Yes. I mean, sometimes it sounds so like, I don't know. It's, what's it called when you're just, saying words.
I call it word salad. I call it word salad.
Word salad.
That's what I call SM's lyrics.
Yeah, like just, yeah, because sometimes they don't make any sense. You just get little images.
That's right. They give you vibes, right?
Yeah, or moments, or I definitely feel like they have this world and there's some characters in them. You know, like Loretta's in there somewhere.
Right.
I don't know. That one feels like kind of like, I don't know, a guy in high school or college or starting job or something. He's kind of lost. I don't know if there's a real whole story there, but I get little snippets
right.
of things. Stream of consciousness. That's what I think I was thinking.
Stream
of
consciousness. Yes.
Or he just gets little, you know, words that rhyme.
Little phrases here and there.
Or they just sound groovy. Is that the one that has, I always thought it was Dirty Scots, but then I saw somewhere that maybe it was Sturdy Scots.
Hmm.
And I always like that because I like a lot of Scottish everything and Dirty Scots. I don't want to ramble on a thing. I just thought of a David Berman thing because it reminded me of Dirty Scott. I never saw Silver Jews, but love them. But when I was living in London, David Berman did like a reading at this little dirty bar called Filthy McNasty's.
Wow.
I don't know why Dirty Scots made me think of that. And that was the one and only time I saw and met him in person. He was very nice and shy.
I had tickets for Purple Mountains, but obviously we know how that turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty terrible. Yeah. back to the song for a moment. I'm sorry.
No.
What is your relationship with this song? Like, do you have any sort of relationship with this song? You mentioned that Crooked Rain, mm-hmm. and Planted are your sort of go-tos. Is this a song that you'll pick and choose from Wowie Zowie, or do you pass it up, or what's the deal?
It's a thumbs up for me. Because there are a few that I kind of go like, I'll listen. I don't think there's anything I skip, really, ever. Right. And I kind of like that all the albums have like songs that are like making me feel like I'm going to cry 1 minute and they're so slow and sad. And then the next minute I'm like jumping up and down and screaming something stupid with them. And that one's more in the like mellow, slow, sad thing. And I'm a sucker for that kind of song.
That's good.
I think it's pretty.
It is pretty. It's got a great melody.
Yeah, it's a good solid one.
Yeah.
I'd put it on a mixtape for somebody. If I was introducing them to some Pavement.
That's the highest compliment you can make to somebody, you know? Like, we get that. We get that mm-hmm. because of our era. But it is such, such a high compliment, right? I'm going to make you a mixtape. I remember I burned somebody a CD once, like a mixtape on CD. And it just wasn't the same.
It isn't. It was so hard because you had to fit them into, the side. And I didn't like leaving too much space. I'd put little parts of movies and shows and like weird little snippets of people talking.
Oh, that's badass.
I have gotten compliments many years later from many of my high school friends that I did make really good mixtapes. So I kind of need to borrow them from them because they probably were pretty good. People like sent me pictures of the track listing and I'm like, ooh, I forgot about a bunch of those bands. I'm going to go look them up now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, mixtapes. Oh, the children today, they won't know.
No, they just really won't. Well, cassettes are starting to come back in a weird way. So maybe they will. Maybe they will.
I will say I have a 12-year-old daughter now, and right after we went to see Pavement in 2022, I took a few videos and I was watching a couple on my phone, and she came in the room and said, "Hey, I know that song. It was Harness Your Hopes."
Of course.
And I was like, "No, you don't, because you're 10. And no, you don't. And I don't think I've ever played this around you." And she goes, "Yeah, I do." And then she like said a couple lines and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then obviously it was TikTok.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind.
And it's made a comeback again.
I know. She told me the other day. She goes, Pavement's blowing up on TikTok again. And I'm like, "What? Is it the same thing?" And she's like, "No, it's something with baggy pants and spinning."
Yeah.
Which she sort of explained to me.
Even Mark did it.
I saw that. I saw everybody was giving it a little go.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Me too. So fun.
I kind of love that, though. It makes sense that they would make a comeback. That was a random song, but it's a random song.
It is.
Very odd and quirky and funky. And
when you look at its numbers on Spotify, it's incredible, like the number of downloads or streams it has versus the next song.
It's mind blowing.
It is mind blowing.
I hope some of the children explore some more Pavement.
They
would have such a grand old time.
They are obsessed with the 90s right now, so maybe they will.
Yes. I have impressed my child with some of this stuff. I think she's even impressed about this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I've really enjoyed my time with you today.
Ditto.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. It's always good doing this gig right now. The first time around, I was solo. I did every song in the catalog solo.
Wow.
And that was really tough to do because you're sort of talking to an audience that you don't know mm-hmm. if they're even there. This time around with the top 50, it's been so great getting to meet people. Like I've met, at this point I've met 30 people or 39 people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 39 people. 39 people, 29 people, whatever. Anyway, you get the point. And
where are you in the world?
I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, I've been to Toronto a bazillion times.
Oh, that's great.
Seen lots of bands there.
Ah, any good venues that you can rhyme off?
Massey Hall.
Massey Hall is great. Yeah, I think that's where I saw Pavement twice there.
Oh, I think I saw Damien Rice there.
Okay.
I think I saw Arcade Fire there.
That would make sense.
Travis.
Okay.
From Scotland. David Gray. I had a friend I lived with in England, and then she lived in Glasgow, and then she went back to Toronto, so I would go see her a lot, and we go see a lot of the bands that we loved. So I love Toronto. I would live there in a second. Wow. I wish I could kind of, it was a little bit warmer, but
it's been a spectacular this year. We had no snow. Yeah.
Lucky.
We had 3 days of snow, like through the whole winter. So it was
all right. I'm changing my mind then.
Awesome.
Especially if something happens in November. I said that the last time the creep got in, but
yeah, well, you know, you guys have your shit to deal with for sure. We have our shit up here too. So
yeah.
I will let you know when this episode comes out, because as I mentioned, we are recording this deeply in advance, because I'm a bit of a flake and I want to make sure I've got all these in the can before I flake out. And that's what I'm trying to do. So
you sound like you're on top of things, man. I'm impressed.
I'm trying. All right. Be well, stay swell, and wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.